A rose by any other name is still a rose. So goes the famous line from what's his name. But we don't want to get into a philosophical discussion this morning on the nature of reality, about roses or otherwise, and the relationship to names as indicators of some substance, real or moderately real, or even relegated to shadows on the wall. We'll save the ontological Ausein under Setzung, please, for some other time, preferably when I'm not around. But we cannot dismiss the whole issue of names that easily. What's in a name? Indeed, what is in a name? Would student 3179-62455 please identify yourself? It's too bad. It's too bad. Oh, you did. Good for you. Well, that ought to be worth an automatic A, I suppose, in continental theology. Or maybe we should worry about you. Worry about you, Mr. Ruffner, because you know your number. We don't take kindly to being reduced to numbers, a series of digits. Never mind your name. What is your customer number? Your order number, please. What is your zip code? What is your claim number? Your insurance number? And on and on. Hello, fill in the blank. Please enter your passcode. But I'm a name, not a number. How often haven't you thought it? What's in a name? A rose by any other name? Well, I don't think so. Give names a little more credit. Names conjure up pictures in a mind's eye. Sometimes they stand out. Elvis. Bubba. W. Now, that's the supreme name, a letter that comes to stand as a whole name. But I suspect that for most of us, names, our names perhaps fade into the crowd, even as faces fade away. Some people say they never forget a name or face. I'm afraid I do better if you've been dead 500 years. It's the occupational hazard. But whether then or now, names do stand for something. Names come to evoke a reputation, an ability of what someone can do and who, because of who someone is. Franz Kafka writes novels where the main character is known simply as K. No names, just K, and people have always wondered and puzzled, just what is that supposed to mean? Names are important in our reading, Isaiah 43. I have called you by my name. And who would that be? It is the Holy One of Israel. No doubt about who's at work here. It's a one of a kind. There in the text. Looking forward to troubled times described in the previous chapters, the prophet named Isaiah, that the Lord saves, points to something better. And there should be no doubt that this is worth listening to, because what is said is what the Lord says. It is in his name. Chapter 42 was gloomy. And then starts chapter 43, but now. What wonderful words. But now, Isaiah is a Lutheran. Now, on the other hand, not more of the same, not piling on, not one more wretched thing after another, but rather a shift in direction, a change in their fortunes. And not later, but already now the promise is given, even before the darkness is going to fall on Israel. Who says so? The Lord says so. And what's in a name? Israel didn't have to ask. But God, through his prophet, made sure there was no doubt. This is the Lord who created you, who formed you. Same image as in Genesis 1. Which Lord? That Lord. But there really is only one. He is the Lord who not only created, but then did not give up on his creation. I have redeemed you, says the text. And I have called you by name. He knows exactly what he has, because he made them his. The powerhouses of the Mideast may steamroll over them, hardly noticing little pipsqueak Israel, but God knows. God has made them his. Only God knows why, but then he's the only one finally that has to know. So be glad, Israel. Give thanks. Hope trust. There's good reason to want to be embraced by God, for there are tough times coming Israel's way. All we have to fear is fear itself, is nice bravado that Roosevelt laid out for us. But Israel, that won't do. They know better. Yet floods or fire or come what may, they've already seen it. More is on the way. Israel knows the name of the Lord, and he knows them by name. What's in a name? Plenty. When we see the list of those God is willing to give up in Israel's behalf, Egypt, Ethiopia, Sheba, in effect all of North Africa is offered up for ransom, and there'll be more if that's not enough. Spare no expense to gather all that God wants, and they will come. Remember, the Holy One of Israel, that's the name, is at work. Since Isaiah 43, now for us the ranks have swelled with those called by name, and the Lord is still at it. More has been gathered. More have been gathered. The price has gone up. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the name Israel has been stretched. It is now the new Israel, his church. That's us, known by name. Who brings this child to be baptized, and how is this child to be called, to be named? Baptized into the name of Christ, we share what his name brings, life, salvation. And he promises your names are written in the book of life. Consider the alternative, the eternally horrible alternative. I don't know you. Depart from me. The name of the Lord still shines bright. It is a name that stands for grace and mercy, for life and love, for Israel, and as salvation history has unfolded for us. We may not be headed to bondage in Babylon, but whatever may come, and trials will come. This is not to dismiss them and to brush them aside. They are real. But when they come, we press on because of a relationship we have. We know the Lord on a first-name basis, and he knows us. What's in a name? In his name, and in him knowing ours, there is more than we can ever express, more than for which we can ever give him enough thanks and praise. But there's all that we ever need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.